When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
This sham with Steve Keim out there in the desert, I mean, it's like no accountability. Never my fault. It's never his fault. Stuff just happens. Losses just fall from the sky. It's not Cliff's fault. It's not Kyler's fault. It's not my fault. It's not the owner's fault. We just have really bad luck. Just hang in there and keep throwing money at us and we'll figure it out. Shut up.
Listen to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Few days to go, John U. Bacon, who is an author and knows the Michigan football program and Jim Harbaugh very well, said from very good sources, the possibility of Harbaugh leaving for the NFL is real. Could even happen fast, nothing final. But if he goes, it would not be because of money, NIL control, or just about anything regarding UM, but his growing frustration with college football itself. And John U. Bacon joins us now. John, first off, I appreciate the time. So today, Michigan releases this statement, and the way that the headline read of the tweet, I'm like, oh, this is going to be Jim Harbaugh saying he's definitely going to be staying, but he keeps on saying he expects to be coaching Michigan in 2023. And when I just hear that, I go, well, you could expect to do something, and then still something else could happen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it indicates that the door has not been closed to the NFL. And I think that he is leaning towards Michigan, and as I made clear and you quoted, and I had a much longer piece today, by the way, about 1,000 words on the Bacon blog, johnubacon.com, where I dive into all this, and you can find me on Twitter as well. The thread is on there. That he's got nothing against Michigan. It's not about NIL. They finally raised about $7 or $8 million in the last month or so for that. It's not about money. They're going to make him one of the top five highest-paid coaches in the country, which if you finish in the top four 2 years in a row, fair enough. And he's never been that motivated by money on the grand scale. When he went to Michigan back in 2014, it was for about $5 million when the Bears and the Jets and others were offering him $10 to $12 million. So I've never seen that as his main motivator, but if it is, you know, they're ponying up real money there, of course. And not about control either. That's all fine. I think it's about a few things. One is the itch has not been scratched for him and the NFL. His brother's still in there, of course, John, with Baltimore. And Jim was one play away from beating his brother in that famous Harbrother Super Bowl. I'm sure that's part of his thinking. And he's 59 years old. And at some point, there's an expiry date, as the Canadians say, on your coaching prospects in the NFL. It's a youth movement right now, as you know. So all those things figure in. And add one more factor, and that is that he's getting quite fed up with the NCAA. Apparently, they're about to get served with a violation of some sort from recruiting back in 2020 during a COVID blackout. It sounds like pretty small change stuff, but as we both know, the NCAA is great at nailing misdemeanors and overlooking felonies, of course. They're brilliant at this. And you got to go back to the Jerry Tarkanian quote that the NCAA is so mad at Kentucky that Cleveland State is going to get probation. So all those are the factors. Some point to going.
So with all that being said, and I hear the quote today, or I see the statement today, it's almost as if, I'll just ask you the question, why even release that statement? Because he knows how that statement's going to read. It's everyone's, some people, like the dire Michigan fans, can say, all right, yeah, our guy's coming back. But I think a lot of people read that and go, okay, you expect to be back, but that's not a definitive statement.
Yeah, and he says, you know, no one knows what the future holds. There's a fair amount of cushion in that statement, and I'm not trying to be cute with this or denigrate the idea of sending it out there. I think he's trying to calm people down, obviously. He says that I expect that I will be enthusiastically coaching Michigan in 2023. Well, you have to give him his due. If he's coming back, he does everything with great enthusiasm. As his dad loved to say, attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, and both his dad and he do that. John does it more quietly, but he also does it. He said he's having good talks with President Santa Ono and Ward Manuel. I have spoken with them, and I appreciate their support of me and our program. And he says, you know, well, no one knows what the future holds. So it indicates he does not want to alienate the Michigan people. He does not want to burn any bridges, obviously. But I can't read that and say the door is shut. And I don't think anybody, you know, who's been to law school for more than 5 minutes as I have could do it either. So I think he's leaning that way, but the door is not shut. And we are hearing that Denver, Indianapolis, and Charlotte all have strong interest.
What do you think his preference would be if he could get any one of those three jobs between the Panthers, Colts, and Broncos?
Good question. It probably depends on whether you're talking about football or your family. Because family would love to be in Colorado, I think. His wife was living in Las Vegas when he met her, when she was working in real estate. But Denver, as you know, as an NFL stop, they put it all in for Russell Wilson, and they're paying for it, and Wilson's not coming through. So they're going to have a rough slog to get out of that mess. I would say probably Charlotte, from a football point of view, makes the most sense. But who knows? I think ideally, he would like the NCAA to go away, to have his NIL bank full, and probably come back. If I had to bet right now, I'd still say coming back. But I can't say it 100%.
So really, these allegations, I guess it's just going to depend quickly how he thinks they're going to play out. And is that what's going to probably be the deciding point, and if he's going to leave or stay?
I can't say that, but it's supposed to come down from the NCAA, the report, the charges, if you will, on Friday or Monday is what I'm hearing. Now, it's the NCAA, so I can't. How disappointing, Zach. Nothing I say can you bank on.
Yeah.
So, I'm relying on the wrong people, but NCAA, you can't really bet on them either. But that's supposed to come down pretty soon. Once that comes down, and look, the NFL season ends Sunday. College football is over definitively with two teams left on Monday. I mean, musical chairs is next week. So this thing has got to play itself out probably within a week is my guess. But the NCAA report is supposed to come down either tomorrow, Friday, or Monday. Will certainly be a factor, what they have to say, what the penalty might be. And what I'm hearing is it's not the infraction itself, but how Harbaugh and his coaches responded to it. That might be the issue. So we're about to find out. That, if there's one thing, Zach, I really hate to guess on, it's the NCAA, because, man, if there's
good
a lot
luck
there, I've yet to discern it.
Yeah, John U. Bacon here with us. So you think it's more likely that he's going to now be back at Michigan. Is there a percentage breakdown that you have on how much confident you are in that statement?
I'd probably go 2-1, maybe 3-1. But I also heard Colin Cowherd report that Denver's offering him $20 million. Now, we know that that's got to be per year. You know it's got to be a multi-year contract, or else no one takes it seriously. And you know it's got to be guaranteed. So we're probably talking about 5 years, $20 million. $100 million, after a while, Zach, we're talking about real money, aren't we? Talking about so much money that the fourth generation of your kids, grandkids, and so on, would have to be complete morons to throw that all away. So that's a level of comfort few of us would understand. So that is hard to ignore, but I still don't think I'm dealing with guts here now. I'd go 2-1, he comes back to Michigan, maybe 3-1.
So here's something that I've always thought of. You know Stephen Ross's relationship with Michigan. His name is on the business school. But throughout the years, and even last year, you heard him say he's not going to be the NFL owner that takes away Jim Harbaugh from Michigan. There was a report by Armando Salguero that if, and it's a big if, the Dolphins don't make the playoffs, everything's on the table, including the coach. If, let's say, it's maybe the side of it that Jim Harbaugh wants to go back to the NFL, and he's saying, even though I'm expected to be the coach of Michigan, I'm going to go maybe pursue the Broncos job or the Panthers job, and there's a change with the Dolphins coach, with Mike McDaniel. Is that enough for Stephen Ross? For last year, it was, I'm not going to be the guy to take him away, to finally say, this is going to be a yearly flirtation with the NFL, so I may as well benefit, especially because you have some sort of relationship with it, with the Michigan ties.
Well, there has to be a threshold for that, doesn't there? And I know Stephen Ross reasonably well. He, as you know, bleeds maize and blue. They didn't name the B school after him for the hell of it, obviously. That's a serious check. About $300 million he's given to U of M, about $100 million to athletics, including the Stephen Ross Academic Center for athletes, which is one reason why they've been good at that. Obviously, he's going to be pretty close to Jim and vice versa. He does not want to be, it's like volunteering in the Army. You don't want to be the first guy to step out there and to see what happens. He can't be the first guy. But if they're competing offers, at that point I think he will probably be exonerated by Michigan fans that you didn't steal Harbaugh, that if he's not going to Miami, he's going to North Carolina or Denver. At that point, Miami is fair game. That answer's coming in on Sunday. We know that. So I'm sure we'll be watching that game as well. I think your scenario sounds about right, that if there are more than one team bidding for Harbaugh's services, more than one NFL team, then he can't be blamed for it. And what he really does not want to do is tick off his alma mater. You don't give that kind of money to your alma mater unless you really love it. And he'd rather lose the occasional game at Miami, which they certainly have done, than tick off everything you've given away all these years, this loyal fan base. So, but like I said, once if there's more than one involved, then Ross is off the hook.
Well, Ross could really make it a Michigan party because Brady's going to be a free agent. Imagine they get Brady and Harbaugh in Miami.
I'll tell you what. Brady might be older than Harbaugh at this point. I can't remember. But those two together for 1 year, you'd sell some tickets.
There's no doubt about that. At John U. Bacon on Twitter, letthemleadbybacon.com. Anything else that before we let you run that just stands out to you with all this conversation with Jim Harbaugh, his future, and your knowledge of it?
Well, I recall when he came to Michigan in 2014, right before then, he was dealing with, already getting nibbles from the New York Jets, the Chicago Bears at the time, Oakland Raiders. And he had to wait one more day to get that finalized, the day after the NFL season, of course. And he asked his dad, what should I do? He said, you've always made good decisions, trust your heart. And Jim looked at me and said, that's what I did. So at the end of the day, it's going to come down to where his heart tells him, and let's be practical here. What offers might actually be coming in. I've heard of Colin Cowherd's report, but there's no tangible evidence yet of hardcore offers on the table. So hard to say if that one's there. If that's the case, then it boils down to the guts, and Jim works in ways that others don't. The average NFL coach would never leave the 49ers to come to the University of Michigan and make less money. That's what Jim did. So whatever the rational point of view is, it may not work here.
John U. Bacon, good to catch up with you. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
My pleasure, Zach. Zach, thank you very much.
No one's more locked into the NFL than First and Pod.
Why is it not within the realm of possibility that Geno Smith was a victim of a horrible organization, bad offensive coaching, and then went and played behind three high-level talents and only got spot starts and did okay, by the way?
Well, because it doesn't really happen that often anymore.
Subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
This sham with Steve Keim out there in the desert, I mean, it's like no accountability. Never my fault. It's never his fault. Stuff just happens. Losses just fall from the sky. It's not Cliff's fault. It's not Kyler's fault. It's not my fault. It's not the owner's fault. We just have really bad luck. Just hang in there and keep throwing money at us and we'll figure it out. Shut up.
Listen to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
This sham with Steve Keim out there in the desert, I mean, it's like no accountability. Never my fault. It's never his fault. Stuff just happens. Losses just fall from the sky. It's not Cliff's fault. It's not Kyler's fault. It's not my fault. It's not the owner's fault. We just have really bad luck. Just hang in there and keep throwing money at us and we'll figure it out. Shut up.
Listen to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.